Blog Talk Radio. Good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is the Radio Shepherd, and I am so glad you tuned in to tonight's prayer meeting. We have much to do in the way of God's business, much to pray about, much to seek the Lord about, much to believe Him about. We are the only entity on earth who really has a connection with God. We're the only entity on earth that can pray and have God intervene in the affairs of men. Only entity, the church. You and I, my brothers and sisters, you and I are that connection between earth and heaven. And we are to intercede, we're to pray, we're to stand in the gap, especially for this lost and sinful world. We're to stand in the gap for the church who is increasingly becoming apostate. We are to stand in the gap for lost sinners. That's what we're called to do, and that's why this is the most important service, the prayer meeting. And listen, I hope and pray that you're just not praying, once a week. Prayer must be like breathing. It must come naturally to you. It must come naturally to me. Every day, I endeavor to be up, and I'm praying at 5 a.m. There's so much to do, so many radio broadcasts, so many classes to teach, so many people to encourage, that 5 a.m. is the start of the day in prayer every day, 5 a.m. in prayer. And this is a must. How can we preach or even dare teach or even dare counsel without coming to our God in prayer? For it is when we go to Him in prayer that we go to get power from on high. We need power from on high to witness, to teach, to counsel, to preach His word. We just need to be in fellowship with God, talking to God, getting our marching orders from God, getting our instructions from our dear Lord and Savior, the captain of our salvation. And so this is why we come to pray as a radio church, and I'm just ecstatic over the fact that you have tuned in. Are you praying for this broadcast? Are you praying for this radio church? Are you praying for the Wolf Tracker radio broadcast? Are you praying for the Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast? Are you praying for the Bible Institute that we've just started? I hope you are. We need your prayers. We want these four programs to go global. Now, the internet affords us that. Anyone can pick us up anywhere around the world on the internet. But by going global, we mean that we can actually connect with people in Russia. We can connect with people in Pakistan. We can connect with people in Saudi Arabia. See, the idea is not just to have the capability, but to actually connect. And so we're praying that this radio broadcast will go global. We'll connect with people from all over the world. And by the way, I have not been receiving your prayer requests. As I said before, I'm up at 5 a.m. praying. Where's your prayer request? As of late, I haven't received any. And many of you are tuning in. You must have some prayer requests. Please send them in so that I can take them before the Lord early in the morning. Early in the morning, I'm taking your prayer requests before God. So this is our prayer meeting. This is when we come to talk to our God, and I want to play this hymn for you. Did you think to pray? Did you think to pray? Because we think about everything else, and we leave prayer for the last resort when prayer ought to be for the first. It ought to be the first thing that we do. Did you think to pray? Let's listen.
Did you think to
Now, let's pray right now. Let's pray for this service. Let's pray that the Lord's blessing would be upon it. Let's pray. Let's join in prayer. Father, we come to you today in prayer because we have much, much to talk to you about, Lord. There is much that we need to talk to you about, much we need to give to you as we come to you with our impossible situations, as we come to you bringing lost humanity before you, as we come before you bringing the sick, as we come before you bringing the brokenhearted, as we come before you mentioning to you those who are presently homeless, those who are presently unemployed. There's so much, Lord, there's so much that we need to bring to you in this hour. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless us. Bring all these petitions to remembrance. Let us not forget one, not one, Lord, not one of these major petitions, that as we come before you, that we may be aided by the Holy Spirit, that it will be the Holy Spirit that will remind us of the things that we know and the things we ought to be praying for. Bless us, Lord. Bless this service. Let us feel your presence and your power while we sing, while we meditate, while we ponder upon the word that will be shared with us. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. We beseech thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, we want to pray for the sick and the dying. We want to pray for all those right now who have a pending operation, for those who are at home sick, who are bedridden, who are homebound. We want to pray for those who are on their deathbed, those who do not know the Lord, and any moment now will transition to eternity. An eternity without Christ. So we want to pray for healing, and we want to pray for the salvation of those on their deathbed. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you, for there is no other. There is none other that we can come to. For we read in the Gospels that when people were blind and they were paralyzed and when they were sick and they were full of disease and they were at the point of death, we read in the Gospels, it is a universal testimony in the Gospels that all came seeking Jesus. So, Lord, right now, we present to you all of the sick, all of those who are bedridden, all of those who are kept in their beds because of a disease, a sickness. Lord, right now we pray for all those who are about to go into surgery, those who are about to have a major procedure done, those who are on dialysis, those who are suffering from diabetes, those who are going blind because of diabetes, Father God, those who are going to have limbs amputated, Father God, those right now, Lord, there are some who are sick, but it's mental depression. They are suffering from depression, Lord God. They're suffering from some mental ailment, Father God. We just pray right now in Jesus' name. Stretch forth thy hand to heal. Stretch forth thy hand, O God, thy merciful hand. thy loving hand, thy caring hand, the hand of the great physician. Stretch forth thy hand and heal. For the Bible tells us again, not only that the multitude comes seeking only Jesus, because they knew that he was the great physician, but also those same chapters, those same episodes, those same narratives tell us that Jesus healed them all. Not one left who was not touched and set free and healed by Jesus. Lord, if you did it back then, you can do it today. Heal, Lord, heal. For by his stripes and by his merits, we shall be healed. And Father, we present to you those who are living their last hours, those who are living their last days on their deathbed. The clock is ticking. They just have but hours here on earth. And yet they don't know your son. They have not embraced your son. When Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed, the emphasis there was mainly spiritual. By his stripes we are spiritually healed. Father, we pray for those who are on their deathbed, who are still in their sins. We pray for their spiritual healing. We know that they have to die, that at some point we all have to die. Pray that if they may die in their bodies, but their soul may be healed. Bring them to Jesus, Lord. Bring them to Jesus. Send someone in the last hours of their life. Send someone with the Holy Ghost boldness to ask them, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Send someone who will witness to them about the Lord. Don't let them enter into eternity forever without Jesus. Have mercy, O God, have mercy. Have mercy on those who are on their deathbed. And heal. Heal spiritually. Heal physically. This we ask and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen. At this time, we're going to pray for the lost in our community. We're going to pray for our lost loved ones. Loss, what do I mean by loss? They don't have a relationship with Jesus. They are not born again. They don't have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their sins have not been washed by the blood of the Lamb. They are not sealed with the Holy Spirit. They are completely lost. If Christ was to come right this moment, those who I'm saying are lost would enter an eternity of punishment, of torment, of separation from God for all eternity. They are lost, lost in their sins, lost in their trespasses, lost in their iniquities. And it's a shame because the Bible says that John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," which means that the Lord died for everybody. So if he died for everybody, isn't it a shame that not everyone's taking advantage of his death on the cross, of his blood that's been made available? We need to pray that God will convert men to Christ, that God will draw men to repentance. To repentance means to turn around away from your sin, and then repentance and faith. What's faith? As you turn away from your sins, which is repentance, as you turn away from your old lifestyle, from your old haunts, as you turn away from your old friends, you turn to God in faith. You turn to God in saving faith. So let's pray for the lost right now. You have neighbors who don't know Jesus. You have co-workers who don't know Jesus. You have classmates who don't know Jesus. The list goes on and on. Relatives who don't know Jesus. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray that the Father would draw them. For Jesus said, unless the Father draws them, they won't come. Let's pray that God would supernaturally begin to draw sinners to the cross, that he would save the lost. Father, right now we come to you, believing everything your word tells us to do. You tell us to pray for the lost. You tell us to pray for sinner man. You tell us to pray for every man, woman, and child, that they would come to know Jesus. You tell us to intercede, to stand in the gap on behalf of sinners. So right now, Lord, we present sinners to you. We present men, women, and children who are not in covenant with Jesus, do not love Jesus, do not serve Jesus, are not followers of Christ. And Lord, we pray right now that you would convert them, that you would transform them, that you would change their heart of stone to a heart of flesh, that you would grant them the experience of being born again, that you would make this supernatural miracle happen in their life. We pray for sinners, Lord. Only you can convert a sinner. Only you, as the Bible said, as Paul preached, the hand of the Lord turned the heart of Lydia, and she believed. It's not just our preaching, but then God, we must do the preaching, we must do the talking, we must do the sharing, we must present the gospel, but while we're doing that, God is turning hearts. God is converting sinners. God is bringing them to repentance. God is drawing them to his Son. We pray, Lord, that as we become active in soul winning, as we go out to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would be with us and do what only you can do, which is turn hearts. Save sinners today, Lord, we pray. Save sinners today, we pray, Lord. Save them today. Before it's too late. Save our neighbors, save our friends, save our relatives, save all those, Lord, all those, save them whom we know. Begin there, Lord. Begin by touching the ones we know. We want to begin, Lord, by you first saving Jerusalem. Touch Jerusalem. Convert Jerusalem. And by Jerusalem, I mean those who are closest to us. Our friends, our family, our neighbors. Begin there, Lord. And if everyone is to pray this prayer, we believe, Lord, that you would answer. For the word says that you, Lord, are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We pray, Lord, thy will be done. That thy will would be done. Save, Lord, we pray, save. In Jesus' name, we make this petition. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, I want to play a song, a hymn, asking the Spirit of the Living God to come upon us. Because not only are we to pray for sinners and to pray for their conversion, but I believe that also we must constantly be in the upper room, like the early apostles, asking the Holy Spirit to come upon us that we might be empowered. I think we should be in the upper room. I think, like Jesus said, he commanded his disciples and he says, don't leave Jerusalem, don't leave until you be endued with power. And I think that much of our witness is hollow. Much of our witness produces no results. Much of our witness doesn't go very far because it's not touched. It hasn't been blessed and kissed by the Holy Spirit. So I want to listen to this hymn. Then I want to come back and pray that God would fill us with the Holy Ghost, so that we may have the anointing and the power to witness for Christ as he deserves, we should witness for him. Let us listen to this wonderful hymn. Meditate upon it. Consider its words. Let it take root in your heart. Amen. Let's pray that right now. Spirit of the Lord, Holy Spirit, we need to be freshly endowed. Our witness is dry. Our testimony is parched. Only when we have you, O Lord, fall upon us, only when we're touched and empowered by your Holy Spirit is our witness fresh, is our witness full of power, does our witness evidence life. How can we preach life in Jesus and life more abundantly when those we are witnessing to see no life and no power in us? Oh, Spirit of the Living God, fall upon us today. Do for us like you did for the disciples, for the 120 in the upper room. We dare not speak on your behalf. We dare not share on your behalf. We dare not evangelize or witness on your behalf until first you fall fresh on us. And once you fall fresh on us, melt our hearts, mold our lives, fill us with your power, and use us for your glory. We pray. And that ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our prayer. Melt our frozen hearts. Mold our lives. Revive me. Anoint me. Send me. But all of that can only happen if we pray for fresh on me. We need a fresh encounter, a new encounter, a daily encounter with the Lord. No one wants to eat stale bread. No one really has a desire to eat stale food. No one wants to eat stale crackers. And if we don't want anything stale, we shouldn't also want a stale experience. Everything in God ought to be fresh and new. And it's available to us. We just have to ask for it. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit. I'm tired of being dry. I'm tired of being stale. I'm tired of speaking and no one is revived. I'm tired of being a parched Christian. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. And as you fall fresh on me, change me, mold me, transform me. And then let there be an overflow. So that when I come into contact with others, Spirit of the living God, which fell fresh on me, would also have a fresh and new impact on them. That's our prayer. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I have a word for you today. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. And it reads in the following manner. It says, "The Lord is far from the wicked." The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Father, we ask you to bless this word. Speak to us now, Lord. By means of this word, let us feel as though, Lord, you are the one speaking directly to our hearts. That let us feel that you have sent this word for this hour. Let us sense, Lord, that you knew where we were and what kind of word we needed at this moment. Let us sense, O God, that you have sent this word special delivery. Bless us by this word. Jumpstart our faith. Encourage us. Cause us to believe you for great things. Cause us to put our trust in thee. Cause us, O God, to wait on you and not be moved. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This Solomonic text is really dealing with one subject. The subject is prayer. But it really deals with one subject, but two reactions. How does God react to the wicked? How does God react to the righteous when they pray? See, it's about prayer. It's about prayer. But God has one reaction when the wicked pray, and God has another reaction when the righteous pray. And perhaps you think that it's not, that you have not seen that there's any advantage in serving God. Well, perhaps you say that because you see your neighbor and you compare yourself to your unsaved neighbor, and your neighbor has the best cars, and your neighbor gets to go on the best vacations, and your neighbor gets to enjoy the best things in life. He doesn't serve God. He doesn't support the work of the ministry. And yet it seems as though he's blessed. And here you are. You're serving God faithfully. You're submitting to God's word. You're obeying the rules of the faith. You are submitting to the standard of holiness. Your neighbor is not. In fact, your neighbor is the very opposite of what you are, and yet, when you measure with your own eyes the results of both life, you say, well, he's prospered. Look at all that he has. I don't even have a third of that. Some would even argue, oh, it just pays to be a sinner. And I would say to you, lose heart. Don't lose heart. There is a blessing. Well, I'll put it this way. There are many blessings in serving the Lord. But this text highlights, underscores one of the blessings. And it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. But let's divide the text into two parts. First, it says, the Lord Yahweh, the word Lord here, the noun, the proper name of God, the Lord here in Hebrew is Yahweh. Yahweh, who's Yahweh? Well, Yahweh is the name that God uses of himself when he wants to remind us of covenant. Yahweh, or the Lord, is the covenant God. The covenant God. The God who establishes contracts. So it says, and the Lord, or the God of contracts, the God of covenants. But it's even more than that. The word Yahweh just does not highlight the fact that God is a God of covenants or he's a God of contracts. But also, you see, the name Yahweh also emphasizes that God is there for the long haul. For the long haul. Because life is one giant long haul. You know that. If you live to be 90, all 90 years you've been trucking along, if you will. It's been a long haul. Some are just starting out in life, but I can tell you, if you're 18, 17, 20 right now, I can tell you that if God graces you with life, life is a long haul. And on every adventure, on every episode, on every spiritual trip, on life's journey, you're going to need this God who is the God of what? The long haul. Think of a U-Haul truck, a U-Haul truck. Think about if you had to go through life, if you had to go through life on the move, but you had no U-Haul truck. It would really be a problem for you to haul everything that you have without a U-Haul truck. Well, see, what makes life easy for the believer is that God is our U-Haul. He's the God of the long haul. He's the God who's there from the beginning of the trip to the end of the journey. So he says, so in the text, Solomon is reminding us, he's saying, listen, the God of covenants, the God who makes contracts and keeps them, who is also the God who starts something and brings it to completion, that God. And we know this God. It's the same God that St. Paul spoke of. St. Paul put it this way to the Philippians. St. Paul said, he that began the good work in you will do what? Will complete it. God does not start something and then he walks away. If you have a God who started something and walked away, that's not the God of the Bible. For the God of the Bible is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps the stipulations in the covenant. He always fulfills his word. He never lets those who he is in covenant with, he never lets them down. God is there for the long haul. God is there with you from the beginning of your life journey till the very end. So this God, the Lord, what is he? The Bible says he's far. He's far. And this is an interesting word because there are several words in Hebrew that highlight distance, how far you are. But this word, this Hebrew word, really, really emphasizes far off. See? Not that just something is far, but something is really far off. Something is really far, far away. So now notice, this God who keeps covenant contracts, this God who promises to be there for the long haul, is far, far away. He's got no relationship. He's got no connection. Got no connection. To whom? The wicked. Who are the wicked? Well, the Hebrew word rasa, S-R-S, rather, I'm sorry, it's R-A-S-A, Rasa. That Hebrew word, emphasizes this is who the wicked is. The wicked is the guilty. The wicked is any transgressor. The wicked speaks of wrongdoers. The guilty, wrongdoers, transgressors, sinners is another word. So what are they? The wicked are the guilty, the wrongdoers, the transgressors, the sinners, the criminals. And all of this is emphasizing spiritual guilt, spiritual wrongdoing, spiritual transgression. Of course, sinning is spiritual, and spiritual criminality. So the Lord, the covenant-keeping God, the God who promises to be there from the beginning to the end, is far, 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 far away from whom? The guilty, the wrongdoers, the sinners, the transgressors, the criminals. And why is he far, far away from them? Because they've already made it known that they want nothing to do with him. If they wanted to have something to do with God, they would visit his house on a regular basis. But they care not for him, nor do they care for his holy Bible, nor do they care for his holy commandments and statutes. They can care less about God. And this is why, since they keep their distance from him, he is duty-bound to keep his distance from them. See, God, the Lord, is far, far, far away from the wicked. Far away. Here's the conjunction. But he heareth. He does what? He heareth. And what does he hear? What does he hear? What does he hear? He heareth the prayer of the righteous. He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now, before I do the exposition of the second part, I want you to listen to this song that was recorded back in 1955 by the group called the Gospel Hummingbirds. And this is a song entitled Lord, I Come to Thee. Lord, I Come to Thee. Let's listen to this inspirational song that ought to get us into the mood to pray and to draw near to God. Let's listen. After the song, I'll come back and I'll do the second part of the exposition.
Begging you, please.
Yes, indeed. Lord, I come to thee. Why? Because the Lord heareth the prayer of the righteous. I am guaranteed, you are guaranteed, you are guaranteed, I'm guaranteed. We're all of God's children are guaranteed that if we come to him, he heareth the prayer of the righteous. You see, Solomon said this, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth. Now, the word heareth in Hebrew means this. It means to grant an audience. It means to have one's voice regarded. It means to allow in and entertain. In other words, if you were to go to God's office and say, I need to have an appointment with the Lord, the Lord's secretary would say, come on in. Come on in, Mr. Smith. Come on in, Mrs. Rogers. You see, you would be regarded. As a child of God, the Lord's secretary would say, come on in. You wouldn't be told, leave your name and your phone number and I'll get back. No. You would be given immediate access. You would be regarded, you would be respected, you would be granted an immediate audience, and God would entertain your request. He heareth. That the word Sama, S-A-M-A, means to have your words regarded. In other words, God says, let me hear what you have to say. I'll grant you an audience. You didn't have an appointment, but I can grant you an audience right on the spot. I can entertain your request. See? But he what? He heareth. In other words, the Lord is far from the wicked. What does God do? He ignores the wicked. He is deaf to the wicked. He does not receive the petitions of the wicked, but he grants an audience. He grants an audience. He entertains what? The prayer. Tepila, in Hebrew. What's the plea? What are you pleading for? What are you petitioning for? What are you asking for? You see, he heareth. Why don't you write up your tepila? Why don't you write up your plea? And then when you come and you kneel before God, you say, Father, here's my list. Because I heard from wise old King Solomon that you, O Lord, you, Yahweh, you are far from the wicked, but you hear the tepila the pleas, the petitions, the request of whom? The righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who have decided to live life as God requires. That's the righteous. It's an adjective. The adjective denotes that this is a person who is submitting to the moral and ethical standards God has established in his word. This is a person who, when God says, "Be ye holy, I'm holy, saith the Lord," they live holy. This is a person who does things by the book. What book? God's book, the righteous. It says, the Lord is far from spiritual criminals, spiritual transgressors, spiritual wrongdoers, the guilty, the sinner. But, he has a different reaction and a different attitude and a different posture when it comes to his children, the righteous ones, submitting their petitions before the Lord. He grants them an immediate audience. He entertains their request. He has regard for their words. He listens to the cry of their heart. Tell you, my brothers and sisters, I tell you, this is why these singers sang, "Lord, I come to thee." Why? Because he heareth the prayer of the righteous. That's what God does. He hears what? The prayer. Do you have a prayer? Is there something you want to bring to God today? Is there something of great importance to you? Now, perhaps you call someone and you ask them for an appointment, and you said, "Listen, I have a few things on my heart I want to share with you." And then they say, "Well, I'll call my office and have my secretary look at the calendar when I can accommodate you." The Lord says, call on me right now and I'll grant you an audience. The God of all the universe, the busiest person in the entire universe, says, "I got time for you right now. I will grant you an audience right now. I will entertain your request right now. I will have great regard and respect for your words right now. I will listen to your broken heart right now." You get a call back from this person you were trying to reach, and the secretary says, "Well, we can fill you in 6 months from now." This is why, my brothers and sisters, the Dixie Hummingbirds sang, "Lord, I come to thee." Not bishop, I come to thee. Not pastor, I come to thee. Not apostle, no. Lord, I come to thee. You can come to him at 2 in the morning. You can come to him at 3 in the morning. You can come to him with no appointments, none whatsoever, and he'll grant you an audience.
I've been known to lift heavy burden, and whenever I get burdened, I steal away and say, "Oh Lord,
you heard what he said? He said, when I get down, when I get heavy burden, I steal away. In other words, I get away. I get into a quiet place. And I cry, "Oh, Lord, once again." In other words, this man has already come to the Lord and got his appointment for one situation. Now he's got another situation. And he comes again, and God does not say, "I don't have time for you. My appointment book is full. No, no, no. He says, Lord, once again I come to thee. Why don't you try that yourself? Why don't you try coming to the Lord? Because you have a guarantee. What's the guarantee? What's the guarantee? That he heareth the prayer of the righteous.
I'm glad that I have a soul to save. There is a message in every soul. Not only that, but songs have been known to lift heavy burdens. And whenever I get burdened, I steal away and say, oh Lord.
Listen to this part of the song. Listen. It's powerful. Listen to this. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. What a powerful, powerful, powerful song we have just heard. And yes, I'm so glad you have a song, and we have a song now. Way back in 1955, the Dixie Hummingbirds sang that, recorded that, and it's 2015. And we are so blessed. They're probably all gone to heaven. They're probably all in glory. But we're still singing, Lord, I come to thee. Only to the Lord. Only to the Lord do we come. We can come to him when everybody else is sleeping. When everybody else is sound asleep at 2 a.m. We can ring the Lord's doorbell, and he says, come on in, my child. Come on in, I'll give you an audience. Come on in, come on in. Come on in, my righteous one. Come on in. Talk to your heavenly Father. What is aching your heart? What is vexing your spirit? cast it all on me, for I careth for you. See, that's the Lord. That's the Lord that we serve. Now, as we close this prayer service, let's just pray that we will seek the Lord every day. I'm praying that this would become a praying church. If I can instill that in this radio church, let's be a praying church. Let's start a prayer chain. Let's get serious about prayer. Let's really get serious about prayer. Let's pray without ceasing. Because it's prayer to God that changes things. Prayer to God. Father, right now, as we close this prayer meeting, as we have sought your face, as we have asked you to save and to heal and to deliver and to empower, now, Lord, we ask you to keep us connected to you by means of prayer. Make us men and women of prayer. Bless us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us a resolve to seek your face early. You said that you would give Zion the spirit of prayer and supplication. Pour that spirit of prayer and supplication upon us, Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord. We pray. Pour that out on us. Make us intercessors. Make us like Jesus. That we would always be found on our knees praying. Not for cars, not for houses, not for jets, but we would be found praying for the lost, the poor in spirit, the sick in body, and the spiritually dead. That we may be always found seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make us just like the early church, a praying church, church that prayed without ceasing. This we ask, this we pray. This we ask, this we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, that does it for the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Tune in tomorrow for your Wednesday night word of encouragement. I have a word for you tomorrow. The Wednesday word of encouragement. Don't miss it. You will be blessed. Until tomorrow, until we meet again, this is Radio Shepherd signing off. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm glad that I have a soul to save. There is a message in every soul. Not only that, but songs have been known to lift heavy burdens. And whenever I get burdened, I steal away and say, oh Lord, oh Lord, forgive my cause. I come to thee. You made me. And you know all about me, Father. Today I'm happy because you spared me. Not only that I might live, but I might bow down. Oh,